smartest guys around. Yeah. We're about to break it down. That's right, they've won the game. Ooh. Of million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. Survivor wow. Know-it-alls. Hey, Survivor fans, welcome back. I missed our time together. We're going to do something new on the Survivor Know-it-alls, where I'm going to break the fourth wall and talk to all of you at home during the podcast this season. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm so excited to get you even more involved with the program. So it's going to be really, really great. I have lots of fun stuff in store for you, and I'm going to talk to you directly at home, and I'm going to tell you stuff that Steven isn't even going to know about. All right, let's go ahead. All right.
Drop the know-it, just call it alls. Rob, it's so great to talk to you. I was saying to you, you know, yesterday, the first time we've talked in 2 years, like, you're like one of my great friends, and we talk every week when Survivor's on, and mm-hmm. no other point do we really speak. Yeah, I'm a little nervous coming into today because you do 60 podcasts a day and I haven't like spoken to another human being in 2 years. It's like you know that scene in Underworld where they like awaken the vampire who's sure. been sleeping for 1,000 years? Like that's what it's like over here. You've got like the desiccated corpses of Shannon Gates and Mike Bloom and Taryn like lying in my tomb as I've been like slowly bringing.
Yeah.
I mean, coming to life.
Yeah, it's Shannon Gus now. That's how long you've been gone.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Welcome back, Stephen Fishback. It is so wonderful to hear you and see you. Of course, if you're listening to the podcast version, come check us out on our YouTube channel. Rob has a website.com/YouTube. Stephen and I are live 15-ish, maybe 16.7 minutes after the episodes, round up to 17, I mean, maybe round up to 20 sometimes.
Yeah.
We are live after each episode of Survivor. We are the Survivor Know-it-alls podcasting together since Survivor Philippines after each episode of the show. And here we are back after the long Survivor Yadas, of course, the start of our Survivor week here on Rob Has a Podcast. I know you have many, many places to get your Survivor podcasting from in the ever-expanding Survivor podcast universe. But if you want to make sure you don't miss a thing from Rob Has a Podcast, go to robhasawebsite.com/subscribe to get all of the links to subscribe to our podcast. Steven, how have you been?
I've been great. No, I've been terrible. What do you like? Everybody, it's horrible.
So the same
through this nightmare. Yeah. The wonderful thing is, you know, I try to like focus very locally on my family. You know, my wife, my little baby. I have an almost 11-month baby who's fantastic.
Yes. Have we congratulated you on your baby daughter Margot since Survivor Know-it-alls?
I don't know. Never enough. I never get enough congratulations.
Yes.
I'm an inexhaustible hole of need for congratulations. And yeah, it's just great. It's really fun. I mean, it's obviously exhausting, as you know. I noticed that like as your bags have decreased as you know, your kids get older, you're getting more
decreased?
Sleep.
Yeah.
Suddenly I've just like my face is drooping. I think I like maintained a youthfulness, but now I was told a couple of years ago on Reddit, I saw that I was too old to podcast about Survivor. Well, wait till they see me now.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
It's so sad. Talk about ageism. It's like too old to podcast.
Okay.
If I'm too old, you're really too old.
Yes. All right. Well, that's sad news to get us started here tonight on a night where we got the two-hour premiere of Survivor 41. I thought it was really fun, Steven.
This was great. I was so fun. I mean, first of all, obviously, it was just like fun to have Survivor back. But I felt like they really did such a great job. I mean, Jeff obviously was enthused as so many people were commenting. He just like came out of the gate like roaring.
Yeah.
And everybody, it just seemed like they were like excited about it. It felt like fresh in a way. I didn't feel like, I don't know, for some reason, maybe it is just because it's been 2 years. I'm curious if this was your experience, Rob. Like, it just felt fresh and fun and new. You know, and obviously there's so much is because they're telling you, hey, it's fresh and fun and new. But it felt that way too. You know, there wasn't like the fire tokens and the fire token economy. There wasn't like this like heavy-handed, you know, Edge of Extinction twists. You know, it just felt like, okay, it's Survivor and it's fun. And like, there are people who are really excited to play it.
Yeah. I think this is a great group. I think most of the new stuff they tried worked in this episode. Looking forward to digging into it more with you here tonight. And of course, each week after the episode. Some big news for tomorrow. Exit interviews are back on Robinson Podcast, and we will speak with the first two players voted out of the game. So we will have our exit interview to talk with Eric and Sarah a little bit about what went on here on night one of Survivor 41. So looking forward to that. And then I will also be speaking with Karishma Patel on our first interview of the season on Thursday on Rob is a Podcast. So big day coming up on Thursday.
Question for you. So I'm basically a casual now. I'm one of the people props sees on the street. Eric, because I saw Eric in the cast list, but Abraham on the show.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit like the Kyle Jason thing where I think maybe that is an army thing where he goes by his last name. Also, I just want a programming note. So we are live right now. Taryn Armstrong will be live with coverage of tonight's Big Brother 23. Not sure if anybody is watching Survivor Know-It-Alls and then also planning to tune in for that, and somehow we'll has Big Brother on another screen, but Taryn will be live after us tonight, so has a great lead in for Big Brother podcast coverage coming up tonight on Wednesday. Steven, so much to get to. I don't, I'm a little bit not sure where to start. Overall, your thoughts on just the big picture?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, right, we typically begin at the end because it's easy to sort of like work our way out. But it is, there was so much going on in this. It really felt like this cast knows and is excited to play this game, other than Brad, obviously. But the rest of them really know the game.
Yeah.
And are looking to play. You know, there's a few standouts, but like overall, I was really, I mean, I know, yeah, Brad's a cattle rancher, so I've got a
we're rusty. This is what we do. Let's start at that second tribal council, because that is the one that is a little bit of a head scratcher. I'm not exactly sure what went on there. It really looked to me like, oh, live tribal council and Brad is going to go home. And I was actually quite shocked when the votes were counted and Sarah went home.
Right. So it looked like there was a thing. I mean, it looked like Sarah was obviously the default vote, right? Like they went in thinking they were voting out Sarah. Like, that was the impression I had, where, you know, and there was that moment when Brad was like, I'm loyal. You know, and Jeannie was like, I'm loyal. And Jeannie was like, I'm loyal. Like, and it was Jeannie saying that in that moment where I was like, okay, like, that's the plan now. Like, they are all going in thinking that it's going to be Sarah. The weird thing about that was that Jeannie cast a spare vote for Rickard.
Yes.
And so that was the one part I didn't get. And maybe that part was like actually truly live. But the sense that I got was, you know, maybe they wanted JD, you know, short term. It seemed like Shan and JD really did have a relationship, but although she had an amazing job of having relationships with everyone, but they had that conversation where, you know, she was like, this is just about us. I only want, you know, I want this to be the two of us. So my sense was they went into that thinking it was Sarah, you know, thinking that, and then for whatever reason, Rickard was like, just wanted to like mix it up in that moment. And he's got a little bit of like too much game, right? He's got a little bit of like big movesitis, I think.
You think so? I feel like that he just seems very polished for day three. Like, I feel like that he has like come to Survivor like fully formed. Like, I feel like that he is less of somebody who is on their journey of like finding themselves as a Survivor player and somebody who has just like arrived on the island, like ready to go.
That's a great observation. That's really interesting. Like, he's already like sussing out, you know, the lies. He knows like how to move things. But then, you know, why that seemed like a really unnecessarily aggressive move. If it was, if I mean, the narrative that we saw, right, was that it was either going to be JD or it was going to be Sarah. And suddenly to like come out of left field and be like, hey, what about Brad? I mean, in my mind, Brad had to have been discussed because you're not like coming like truly in the middle of tribal and throwing someone's name out who's never been mentioned at all. You know, and, and typically in such a small tribe, like everyone's talking about everyone, right? Like there's nobody who's really escaping the conversation. And, you know, and for the story that we're seeing, it kind of had settled on Sarah versus, versus JD. But it was just so weird to throw out someone totally other, like in that moment.
So the thing that I'm wondering, how much of this was based on the presence of the shot in the dark die? The new twist, which got added to the game, which basically is the 1 in 6 shot that somebody who knows they're going home could potentially throw their vote away to potentially get a 1 in 6 shot at immunity. And how much of this was trying to sort of like, in essence, like flush Sarah's shot in the dark die, like the reverse of flushing it in the way that you would want somebody to sort of like maybe keep an idol in their pocket. How much of it was like, okay, there's all this smoke screen to then have there be a decoy to not have Sarah play her potentially saving die?
You think that was all theater?
I don't know. I'm asking if that's possible.
I mean, that's a really interesting play, but I think that that's like too advanced. I mean, you're saying, you know, that Ricard is, you know, fully formed, but these other guys are not fully formed, right? And I think
Shan might be.
Right. Yes, I agree with you about that. Like, she's very, very good. I don't know. I think that would be also so risky because what if someone takes it the wrong way? You know, you're saying this thing, you know, and then you get a Keith Nail in there and they're like, wait a second, where do I vote? Mm-hmm. That's a really big, big, big play for this like somewhat gimmicky toy, you know, on the first tribal council. I think everyone, you know, maybe you see that in a later tribal council, but I feel like on that first tribal council, just nobody wants to be the first person to go home. You really want your plan to be buttoned up. And so even like the kind of that sort of like move right then, I mean, maybe some of it, and I'm sure, in fact, definitely some of it, right, is just the how much this cast had to wait. You know, they had, many of them obviously were cast when it was supposed to film a year ago. They had to do that 14-day quarantine. You know, they're coming out hot and heavy. You know, they're coming out fast. And I'm sure that's kind of pushing the adrenaline and making some of these players play bigger in a shorter time.
Yeah, the questions that we need to figure out, you know, to make this all make sense, and maybe we'll get some of them from Sarah, is what was the vote going into this tribal council? And then what exactly changed and why at this first tribal council?
But my guess is nothing changed. I mean, maybe like Jeannie like changed her spare vote to Ricard. But like, I don't think, you know, and it definitely looked like Brad got spooked, right? And that's why it's like seems like such a strange move from Ricard of like if Brad isn't really the target, why make him upset, you know, in that moment? And P.S., like Brad is like a gift from the Survivor gods, you know, the guy who tells you to your face he's thinking of voting you out. Like, you can't do better than that as having an ally in a tribe. He's like a hard worker and he's like literally going to tell you what he's thinking. I mean, that's like the guy you want to keep, you know, forever to the end of the game.
Yeah, that was a great moment in the episode when they're talking to him about who are you going to vote for? And he says, you know, for him, he feels like it's either going to be Sarah or Shan, who he's talking to both of them. And Sarah says like, hey, this is like year 2000 gameplay. And I beg to differ because I just watched Heroes versus Villains last week.
I was going
to
say, Russell
Hans did it to Courtney and Sandra in Boston Rob. Yeah. Hey, are you sure you want to do that? And Russell said, you'd be surprised how much this works. I mean, Brad is sitting there right now.
in that scene,
it works more often than you think.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but don't you like you had, wasn't the camera like on like Russell and Rob, and then it like pans back?
I think
Courtney and Sandra like right there, like, excuse me?
I think so.
Yeah.
So, Stephen, can we talk about this new twist which we got here tonight, which is the, I want to make sure I don't have the new name down, the shot in the dark die.
Well, so I tweeted this to you.
Yeah.
And you said, ask me about this on the know-it-alls.
Yeah.
Why is it a die? Because like a die is typically something you roll, right? That's the, and you, even these things you see, they have like differently scored sides. Instead, they're like putting it into an urn and taking a paper out of another thing. Like, you obviously can't have them rolling it in the moment because then they would know the result.
Yeah.
Like, why make it a die?
Well, I
why
think it's like they're looking for like some sort of like an artifact to capture one in six. But then you made it a die. But then you can't roll the die because everybody's like, oh, did you hear what I just heard?
I didn't think about the audio part of it.
Yeah,
you know
you can hear everything at the tribal council.
the shot in the dark gun. Yeah, the gun.
A gun.
Yeah, it's a shot in the dark. You're shooting it, and like you know, it doesn't have to be.
Oh, so
a
it's like
gun.
It's like some like a murder mystery where like the lights go out at tribal council, like bang, like and you come up and like one of the players is like, oh my god,
yeah,
like who did it?
Yeah.
Empty your pockets.
Gotta be an artifact. You know? Yeah. The die doesn't make sense, and the gun does.
So you place your die into the urn, and then you pick out of the bag. And then do you open your thing, or is it sort of like then like do you just hold on to that parchment?
I didn't even get the sense that you know, because like isn't the idea that it's not revealed until
I guess
after
do you
the
take that parchment
read?
And put it in the urn, and then Jeff is like, oh, somebody's safe tonight.
But then what if multiple people do it? Are the urn, does it get replaced every single time?
Yeah, I don't know. And it was sort of unclear of like, do you have your one die for the entire game?
Yes. I think everyone gets one die. And that I like a lot more than the idea that like at any given time that when you're like at risk, you like got to die. I think it's a fun twist. Yeah. I actually really like this because it's a slim chance, but it's a chance. And I think it makes it really fun. There's a decision, you know, that Dalton Ross like always says that it's great to give players decisions. That choice of like, do I vote? Do I try to sway it with the vote or do I take this like, mm-hmm. you know, shot in the dark and give it a go?
Yeah. The name is not great. That being said, I like the idea that one, it really encourages blindsides because you are going to have to, you know, try to not have your victim know that they are going to be the victim at tribal council because it incentivizes them to play it. I also think that the equation, we heard so much about 1 in 6, 1 in 6, 17%, 16.7%. But okay, well, now it's 1 in 5 the next time you go to tribal council.
Wait, why?
Well, it's still going to be one.
I think it's always one in six.
You know, yeah.
I think it's like always going to be a 1 in 6 chance. I don't think it's like based on the tribe number.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that makes sense then. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this plays out.
Yeah. And you know, 1 in 6 is not that small. I mean, it's like, you know, every sixth time it should happen
mm-hmm.
at least once.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't need to get Nate Silver on the podcast.
yeah. No, I think that's cool. But it was interesting that nobody played it tonight. And I guess, like, I mean, with a 6-person tribe, though, I mean, it is. That's what makes it such an interesting idea. Because mm-hmm. with a 6-person tribe, every vote is so important, and you could really screw yourself if you don't vote. But on the other hand, you know, you screw yourself by not playing the die. Hey, speaking of people who screwed themselves, Sarah walking away from that conversation between JD and Shen. Holy cow! What is wrong with you? You know, JD and Shen are literally deciding your fate in the game. She's like, do you guys need space? I don't want to intrude. I don't want to intrude.
Well, I feel like that, you know, that's why I assume that Sarah was in there. I'm very curious to know what she heard. I mean, I feel like that, you know, Brad and Jeannie didn't even get up out of their seats. What are they doing?
They're solid. They didn't need to.
I guess so. I guess they knew everything that was going on. But I mean, Jeannie's voting for Ricard.
Yeah. There was a different point when Brad referred to, or someone referred to, an alliance between JD, Shan, Brad, and Jeannie. And I wonder if that's like a thing that we just didn't really see, you know, because obviously at other points in time, we saw Ricard talking about his alliance with Sarah and Shan. But I wonder, like, I kind of like got the subtext that maybe there was like a foursome that we didn't mm-hmm. like truly see fleshed out. So I'd be curious about that too.
So I thought this tribal council is exciting. I thought it was good TV, but I do think it's a net negative when you and I are, you know, have been doing this for a while and we're confused. So like, I feel like it's not really a great feeling for the audience to turn off the show. Like, well, that was exciting, but I don't know why did she go home? What happened?
But at least they're subtitling it now. I mean, that was a big big change. Like, they used to not for the last... Yeah.
I think they did that towards the end of Winners at War. So, I mean, that part was great. The execution of it, I just feel like that there was a story beat missing of that we don't really know why did Shan turn on Sarah. She seemed to be very close with her.
Right. But if we knew, you know, it might have got, I mean, I assume like the first confessional of the next episode is going to be Shan being like, here's why I turned on Sarah. And she seemed to have like a great, you know, great relationships with everybody. And I think that was what was so exciting about watching her was she really seemed to have these bonds where people where she felt, you know, where people felt really, really close to her. And she did like a, you know, you kind of had that sort of parallelism, right, between the way JD was having these conversations where it was a little bit more obvious. Like everyone was like, yeah, we see you doing this. And then her, who like seemed to be making these really sincere bonds in a way that was felt authentic, but also was obviously strategic from her point of view. She's fantastic. She's what a great character she is.
Shan.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she was really one of the MVPs of the episode tonight. She was really great. The music, the shantham, as I called it, I think was really incredible. I don't really get it of that she's like hums a song that when she's being devious, but okay, I'm on board with it. Darth Vader did the same thing.
No, it's like Sang Min, you know, he's got like extreme ways playing, you know, whenever he like pulls a blindside.
Yeah. So, no. Okay. Shan was really, really great in episode number one. What did you think about one challenge, two tribals?
I like it. I actually like one of the, you know, Jeff had talked a lot right in the pregame press about this is going to be a much tougher game and nowhere to run. And I was like, okay, like I've heard that, you know. But I really felt that they did sort of amp up the pressure. And I thought that like that, the one challenge to tribals did that, you know, the less food, the really very physical challenge. I mean, the first challenge is typically a very physical challenge, but this was really hard. I really liked that component of it, like really pushing the players, and forcing them, you know, immediately to make decisions. It was much more exciting.
Steven, do you think that this will be the format moving forward, or are we going to run out of players if we vote two people off at every, basically every episode cycle?
Yeah, I guess 14 episodes, you know, you don't have 28 players.
Well, I'll tell you something that I noticed was that, Steven, did you see about the game within the game?
I did hear about
it. Yeah, so the game within the game, that's like a rebus puzzle that's right on the screen. You could also go to SurvivorGWG.com, which I did earlier during the episode. It's interesting to me that I saw on the website that there is the rebus puzzle for episode one, and there is slots for episode one through episode 11, traditionally. Survivor is a 13 or 14 episode season. I'm wondering if the season total is going to be shorter this season.
I don't know. I don't know why they would do that. I mean, it makes I would be surprised about that. I mean, you could be right. I would imagine that it will not be, though.
Okay. I mean, that going back to the Jervis X on the website to season one, people have been misreading the websites for you know, over 20 years. It just seems weird that they would put 11 episodes on the website and then there'll be more than 11 episodes.
I definitely would not gauge their programming schedule by like their web team, you know, by the web team as how often they've updated the site.
Okay.
But I thought you were going to say that maybe new players will be entering the game because of the Wanda Rebus.
Yes. Oh, you feel it like
be a hint. Yes. Be a new players coming in.
Yes. I mean, that was like, you know, players coming out, but you think it would be like a reverse Wanda, that there was a magic wand in the screen?
Or maybe Wanda herself.
Maybe Wanda herself will come back. That would actually be great.
Who has been waiting for longer to play this game, you know?
Mm-hmm. So true. Yeah. So true. Okay. Let's talk about the other tribal council, which was the Yace tribal? Yellow tribe? They went to the first tribal council.
Yeah.
And so, Abraham went home. I thought this was going to be Tiffany.
I did too. And I really think that, I mean, the narrative we saw really made it seem like Evie did extremely good work because, you know, you had this trio of Voce, Xander, Voce, and Abraham, who were all about let's keep the tribe strong. And then you had Tiffany, Liana, and Evie who were like, hey, maybe we don't want to, you know, Tiffany doesn't want to be voted out. Evie obviously thinks, hey, if we're voting out the girls, then I'm next person, presumably. Mm-hmm. So it was a really interesting 3-3 tribe split where, I agree with you. Like, it was a real question mark, like where they would go. But then we saw Evie doing this incredible work to switch the vote. And I was so impressed with the way she was talking to people, because she would say things like, I'm fine either way, but Abraham knows the game really well. Or like, they're both interesting choices. I know that Tiffany's really loyal, and just like really seeding it in there. And especially it seemed with Voce that, you know, in the long term, Heather was a better, Tiffany is a better choice to keep in the long term. I don't know. I thought that was very, like, very impressive survivor strategy, especially for episode one.
Yeah, this is tough for Eric, because I feel like if this is an 8-person tribe or a 10-person tribe, that I think that Tiffany probably does end up going out here. And I know that that's sort of like counterintuitive, because it's like, hey, well, don't you need your strength more in these smaller tribes? But when you take a look at what Eric wants to do, where, hey, let's keep the strong people in there. Well, then, okay, let's vote out Tiffany. And then if you're Evie, it's like, well, then who's going? Okay.
Right.
Who's Eric going to look at next? If the rubric for who we're getting rid of is we have to get rid of the people that are holding us back in the challenges potentially. So for Evie, it's like a real self-preservation move to go after Abraham, and good on Evie for being able to get Voce and Xander on board.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, like you're saying, Evie and Liana are obviously much more motivated, right? Because they can see the writing on the wall for themselves. If Tiffany goes home, this tribal, you know, suddenly it's completely skewed the dynamics. Whereas, you know, Voce and Xander don't necessarily think, oh, I'm going to be the next one to go if Eric/Abraham goes now. So I think that, like, you know, I feel like in this instance, like, you have a much more motivated trio against, you know, Voce and Xander don't have any particular loyalty to Eric. But it was good. I felt like that was a really nice episode where you had a really clear, like, or like that tribal council, you know, unlike the green tribe where it was a little bit more chaotic, there was a really clear dichotomy. You know, you had one very clearly articulated position, the other very clearly articulated position. And then you had, you know, Evie especially weaving between the two of those groups, kind of trying to sway people to their side. And yeah, I thought they did just an amazing job of that.
Mm-hmm. I thought this was why I thought Eric was safe. No intro package for Eric. I felt
all right,
we've seen a lot of Tiffany.
Right.
Makes sense. Okay. Tiffany's the first boot. We got very little about Eric. So Steven, I was flabbergasted.
Yeah,
that we saw so many things about so many different players. And I really did like the way that they did the introductions. We brought in footage from outside the game to really sort of like help paint that picture of who these people are. And I know that the international version of specifically Australian Survivor does it really, really well. I like that they incorporated that. But I was sitting there at Tribal Council. I felt like, well, they didn't show us barely anything about Eric. I it's got to be Tiffany.
yeah, exactly. Well, that's great. You know that they shattered your expectations, Rob. Expect the unexpected.
Yes. So I would usually that's the other show we podcast about.
Yeah.
I love that you said that.
Yeah. I don't know. It was an interesting one. They were both. Good. Too good. So what do you think? Do you think that Voce and Xander made bad choices here?
I don't think that they necessarily made bad choices, but what was the alternative? To go to like a 3-3 tie potentially? That's going to be, although Xander does have the extra vote. Potentially, right. But like the
that's a lot for day one.
A lot to waste it on day in the early going. You know,
yeah.
I was actually surprised to see Evie and David seemingly getting along well in the game, because Stephen, a lot of the talk of the preseason was that people really felt like that David was going to come into the game and really be the villain of the season, that he was like giving off a lot of like aggressive types of things in his interviews about how he was going to play the game. Very cutthroat, but he had some fun confessionals tonight, but I didn't really get villain vibes from him in the episode.
No, he if anything, he was like the they more painted him as like a Nevish, you know, where like, oh, I don't want to like be the guy to like say I don't want to do this task, but like now I'm stuck doing the task and like everyone else is strategizing without me, you know, when they had to do the water versus the triangles. Should we talk about that, Rob? Should we go back to the start of the episode?
Let's go back to the start of the tribes arriving, and of course we'll talk a little bit about the marooning as well. Let's do that there, and then it'll make sense of to talk about the tribes. So we had the marooning, and Stephen, this was a real hot mess for two of these three tribes.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I felt bad for the yellow tribe because, as I tweeted, a lot of the colors on the ship were yellow, and especially like that little like bundle where their final paddle was, you know, they, it was like yellow and yellow. Like, how could they possibly see it? It was unfair.
I really thought that you were doing some ship posting there on Twitter when you said that the yellow tribe really was held back because of all the yellow paint on the boat.
But it was true. What are you talking about? It was absolutely true. Yeah. Look at that bundle, and it's like bright yellow. There's no way you're going to be able to see that paddle in that bundle.
Again, that was a ship posting, I said. Just to be clear.
I can't believe
Rob said that. Ship posting. All right.
But the blue tribe, am I right that it was Deshaun that did not
who to place the blame on. Yeah.
Deshaun definitely was the one who in the challenge dropped the bag. Is he like the hidden saboteur?
I don't know.
For the blue tribe?
I don't know. And was he the person also that said that, hey, we should go look for the idol, or was that Danny?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, but that was so funny where that we've never seen this before where, you know, one tribe can't get off the boat. Yeah. I guess we've never had, like, usually it's Jeff is like, get out of here. Get off this boat. You've got, you've got 10 seconds. And Penner's like, or what happens?
Yeah.
But this was like, you had to find the thing to get off the boat. They never found the thing.
And my favorite was like the blue tribe, Luvu, literally not moving. Like, them, like, Roy's like, huge tribe, like, you know, probably the most athletic looking tribe there. Mm-hmm. And like, these, you know, they're just rowing and rowing and rowing and just like not moving at all. As like it's like the green tribe zips.
It's like, do you have
them.
The parking brake on? And my favorite part of that was when Jeff is like up in the crow's nest, and then somebody tries to come up there, and Jeff's like, no, I promise you, it's not up here. It's not up here. I promise. It's like you're like playing like some sort of like a hide and go seek with like a kid, and it's like, no, don't go in daddy's bedroom. He's not in there.
And I like that there was no advantage. I like that, like, I'm tired of like, oh, there's an idol on the ship. I mean, it's fun, but, you know, or it was fun, but now it's not fun because we expect it every time. And so I think that like, in the same way that the auction got ruined by advantages, you know, I think that like it was fun to like, just this be the thing, you know, like they had to do this task and whoever was going to do it the best was going to be the one that made it to the end.
Okay, so you had to win the challenge to get your basic supplies. The other tribes would have to complete a challenge to get their basic supplies. And so we saw the other two losing tribes have to compete in a challenge that was called what? It was...
Strain or brain is what it should be.
Savvy or sweat.
Okay. Oh my God, mine is so much better.
What is yours?
Strain or brain.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Mike Bloom had said this is like an Amazing Race detour name. Teams that pick Savvy will have to complete a triangle puzzle. The teams that pick Sweat will have to fill up two barrels with water from the ocean. So, Stephen, I saw this a lot on Twitter tonight. Why didn't any of the tribes pick the triangles?
Would you have done the triangles?
I feel like that doing the triangles would be like advantageous of we're all in this. I think I would be very much the like a voce of like, okay, like if some other two idiots want to do this, great. As long as I'm not one of the two idiots.
Here's the thing, like you need the fire, you know, you need the flint, you need the pot, you know, if you want to like boil water, if you want to like have fire, you know, if you want, I mean, you know, cook, I guess if you can get, you know, get some crabs, if you've got, you know, Sydney on your tribe, you know that if you do the sweat, what was it?
sweat.
If you do the strain, you're going to finish it. If you do that, if you do like the water carry challenge, you're definitely going to get those things. But you could miss some stupid effing triangle and then you're screwed. You've got like a long night.
Yeah, but Steven, you lose the flint anyway when you go to the challenge.
When you go to the next challenge, if you lose.
Yeah. So I see you have
it. You get it for like a night and like the idea of like never having flint because you might have to like give it up if you lose. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And if you have it for a night, you can make a fire and hopefully have some embers left over. I mean, I don't know. I would have probably done the safe thing. The thing about the triangles is like, that's going to cause a lot of fights. You know, there's going to be a lot of arguments over how many triangles there are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's tough. It's interesting. Neither of the tribes ended up taking them. I liked that it was.
I probably would have been triangles. I would have gone for the triangle. Just let's see.
Yeah. Well, maybe could you for next week, could you look at the puzzle and then report back to us how many triangles?
Definitely not. That will not be me doing
So it was fun, though, that it was like a mishmash of people. Like, we don't have a theme here where it's not like, oh, the brains tribe will definitely choose the triangles and the brawn tribe will definitely fill up the barrels.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that's one of the nice things about not having a theme is like not having those endless discussions of like what makes a David, you know, well, yeah, like basically, I guess I could just repeat what you just said, but yeah, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So an interesting thing that happened was that Danny and Deshaun, they decided to start looking for the idol during their time where, and they still completed the task. So they must've had a lot of time.
Yeah. It said 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a lot of time.
That was a lot of time. So Danny and Deshaun went to go look for the idol. And I thought that what was interesting was that both tribes realized, hey, there's two people working on this task and there's four people not working on the task. So this is not a great spot for the task doers.
Yeah. Right. You would not want to be in that group.
Mm-hmm.
Although with like with Danny and Deshaun especially, like they're so clearly like the, you know, the biggest. I mean, this year's a big guy, I guess, but like, you know, they're clearly the biggest guys on that tribe. That I feel like they have to feel like a little bit of comfort in that in the early days of the game, right? In terms of like being somewhat necessary. Like you're not, you know, if you're Danny, you're not thinking I'm going to be out first. You know, that would be an insane move.
Mm-hmm. So Nasir spots them going to look for the idol and then reports back to the rest of the tribe. Was that a good move for Nasir?
Well, clearly it didn't turn out to be a good move because then Sydney went back to Danny and Deshaun and reported on what had just happened. I don't know. The other choice would have been for Nasir to like go up to them and be like, hey, like, I mean, let get me in on this thing.
It's like, oh, do you see all the guys are talking? Do you see the guy that all the men of the tribe are like, okay, now you got to make an alliance against them.
Yeah, it's tough because if you report back, then someone can report back on you having reported back. I mean, that certainly happened to me.
Yeah. I wonder if the better move is sort of like taking that information and then having like one-on-ones with people, like you're sharing that little like tidbit of information with
multiple people. Yeah. Like the group chat is always a mistake because then it's like, nobody feels like it's like their special relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So you think that's how you would have played it? It's like you would have.
No, that's what I'm thinking of now. I probably would have been the same exact thing as Nasir.
Everyone gathered together. Yeah.
Everybody, guess what I just saw. But like the more I think about it, yeah, I think that that's probably the better way to do it.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. But he also was like of that sort of the Garrett, like where nobody's going to strategize right now.
Well, it was doing them a favor. It's like, okay, let's nobody strategize while they're doing that. And then it's like, okay, well, deal's off.
Yeah, because they were strategizing. I mean, that's fair.
Steven, let's talk about the other twist from the episode where a boat shows up at all the camps. And then from the boat, each tribe has to send somebody. Each of the tribe sends one of the men to go out to the some sort of an island. It's Danny, it's JD, and it's Xander that end
up going. It's funny because they all choose their person in a different way. And I thought that was really interesting, where Danny volunteers to go. Xander is sort of volunteered because everyone feels like, you know, Xander, he's fine. He's not going to lie to us. Everyone likes Xander, which is strange. And I'm curious, like, what your take on that is. And then the yellow tribe. The green tribe. Sorry, we're still getting my feet under me here. What's the green tribe draws rocks. So I thought it was interesting that they all had different ways of deciding.
Yeah. And so they end up going on like some sort of a hike where they're told to get to know each other. And then they
JD's hair was flowing.
Mm-hmm, everybody's hair was flowing. Yeah. And then they end up having to walk down and we get this prisoner's dilemma, which I found a little hard to follow.
It was like a little much. I agree. It was complicated. Like by the end of it, you're like, okay, I sort of get the choice. But as you know, if part of the fun of this new iteration of Survivor is letting the audience play along, it was a little bit too complicated in its permutations to come up with like what I would do in that scenario is. Although I now know what I would do in that scenario.
But, So you got to protect your vote or you get to risk your vote. If you were one of the, if it was like a split decision, if not everybody did the same thing, then you would get an extra vote if you risked it. And then you got to protect your vote if you didn't want to participate in this. What I really liked about this was I love the idea of, if instead of like not swapping, we get people being able to meet up a la some sort of like the Exile Alliance where we're not changing tribes, but we're giving opportunities for the players to make relationships with players on the other tribe. I feel like that one of the things that really sort of like, makes it hard to tell a cohesive story in these episodes is when we swap the tribes up so much. But I love the idea that we're giving players the chance to interact with each other.
Yeah, I totally agree. It made it really fun. It's a great way also for us to learn more about them as they learn more about each other. And then those are relationships that, could impact the game later on. I totally agree with you. And it just like, it's also, it's just like new and fun to see. You know, we're so used to being on the beach with the tribe and, that group is looking for the idols and this group is plotting against them. And like that group, that guy went off and he was gone for too long. It's fun to see something new in a way that doesn't feel gimmicky. It feels like relationships are being formed, but it feels fresh and interesting to watch.
Okay. So we had this prisoner's dilemma about what are they going to do? Now, did you feel like that they kind of like gave the game away a little bit in that like everybody's there like, well, like we're definitely going to get the chance to get some sort of an advantage?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because typically with these things, right, you've got the like get rice, for the tribe or try for an advantage. I like that it was not that. I mean, I didn't think they, you mean they gave the game away because
like knew that they were there to get an advantage,
but it wasn't what they would typically get. Right. They had all thought, oh, this is going to be a chance to like risk my vote for an idol or like, get rice for the tribe or I'll go for an idol. And that's not what it was at all. And I thought that was actually cool because not only the contestants there, but everyone back home is thinking like, if they don't come back with rice, I know they've got an idol. And so that puts them on the spot of needing to make up an excuse, and it was interesting too, to see how that played out, where they all had to go back and kind of explain what happened.
All right. So I need to know from you, Steven, are you risking your vote or are you protecting your vote?
I'm doing neutral bucks.
I really was, so over our long break, I rewatched all of Survivor, save for Cook Islands, which came up the week that I moved. And in my many seasons of rewatching, I really was impressed with the way that when Jeff brought up that chance to get an advantage in Second Chances, that you did not hesitate for a second.
Yeah.
And I know that you're a person that really, you know, like is normally measured and, you know, considers, you know, the pros and cons of things before just jumping to do something. That I thought that was very out of character for you.
Oh, no, I've been thinking about it for a while. Jeff has been like, I mean, I don't want to like take, you know, things too much into it. Let me tell you about my season. Jeff had been like doing this like long monologue for a while. And it was like so outside of what, you know, it was like, sometimes in Survivor, you have to make a choice and that choice can impact the rest of the game. And we're like standing on a little doghouse in the ocean. And you're like, what's my choice to like stay on the doghouse or get off the doghouse? Like there has to be something coming up. And I was like, well, I know I'm not, you know, going to win this challenge. I know I'm about to fall off. So I was like, you know, it's better to have the advantage in your hand typically than to not have it, to know what it is. And then, you know, although in my case, it was much worse. I ended up getting totally screwed by it, sometimes, but anyway, so I think,
but you're not afraid to make a risk.
Yeah. And I think you have to, right. I mean, it's also like, it's like fun. That's what you're there for.
I guess so.
It's like, that's what like, right. That's what like Danny was saying. Like I'm here to, you know, have fun and play the game. And like, I don't want to like sit around, like not playing the game. I was thinking you definitely take the risk, right? Because it's one vote. The odds are that the first tribal council is not coming down to one vote. And the advantage that you could win would last until the final six. So that's something that you could have for the entire game. And as Dalton also tweeted, I saw Dalton was tweeting about this, and I thought this was an interesting take. If you go to risk it and everyone risks it, well, in some ways that's good because you've cost two people on other tribes an advantage that they could use to screw you later in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a very good like thing that you could potentially sell to your tribe. I feel like that. My gut would be to protect my vote because I would feel like, boy, it's only day two here of this game. I'd hate to have this spiral out of control for whatever reason where I end up. And again, you might, protect your vote and the tribe doesn't believe you. There's a non-zero chance that that could happen. I think I would just be afraid in that spot. And again, like, you know, I haven't won Survivor. So maybe that speaks to, you know, playing scared. I just think that it's such so early in this game that there's so much you don't know about how this season is going to play out. I feel like I would have done protect.
But you're saying you would do protect in order so that you didn't upset the tribe, but the tribe isn't going to know either way, whether or not you actually protected your vote. I mean, like JD said, he protected his vote and he didn't. You know, the tribe isn't going to know. So like, why not take the risk? I mean, the only danger is that it's like a 3-3 split and you end up like losing. And so I guess like if you truly felt at risk in your tribe, then it would make sense to protect your vote. But if you didn't, then I think you've got to go for it because the tribe is always going to suspect the worst. Although in this was sort of a way, it was so interesting how this played out where everyone trusted Danny and Xander. They're like, he's got to be telling the truth because that was really complicated. And there was sort of that element of like, there were so many rules that like nobody could possibly make like something up that elaborate.
I did think that was really interesting the way that the story was told of what they did to get the advantage where, Danny tells his story. Oh, gotta believe Danny. Xander tells his story. And it was ironic because Xander told about how, I risked it and I got, I got, we'll see if I got the extra vote, but I risked it. And it was like, oh, okay, cool. That's a good job, Xander. Everybody seemed to buy it. But JD told his story. And he got the dodo music when it was happening. And I feel like that colored my perception of how good of a job he did with his story.
I felt that a lot actually with his throughout the episode with him, like even when like there was that, like I was referring to earlier when he was kind of like going person to person and making alliances. And then you see Shan doing the same thing and she gets this like great music and he gets the dodo music. Like I thought he was doing fine until the music came on and then you're like, oh, he's screwing it up. But I agree with you. But, you know, a lot of it, he didn't do a great job of getting right into it, right? And then the way, like, he kind of explained it, he didn't get into the nuts and bolts as much as the other two did.
Yeah.
And I do feel like there was a little bit more, I don't know, even listening to him, I kind of thought, like, you know, he was a little, so much of it was the journey and, like, his hair and how he was the first one up the hill. And then he was like, oh, and the thing you all want to hear about, which is like this advantage thing, like that was a thing, and I was you know, I chose to protect. So I don't know. I mean, again, you're probably right that some of that is colored by the way that it's presented in the edit. But did you think he did an okay job?
It was hard to tell. It really was. Like, it seemed like that he was stammering more in telling his story. And then we got Ricard's review of what he said. And Ricard was like really down on him, but he was kind of down on him to begin with. So
right.
It's hard to really tell. I thought that overall Survivor did a really good job tonight. I felt like that they went kind of minimalistic on a lot of the music in the episode. Of course, you know, Shan had her Shantham and then it comes back later on in the episode. But I felt that overall there were a lot of times where there was strategic talk happening and there was no music, just like sort of like the Survivor sounds of like the ocean and nature. And I think I prefer that.
Oh, I totally do. I mean, in the very beginning, the early part of the episode, it felt like they went hard with the score. Maybe they ran out of money because they spent so much in the first few
didn't
minutes,
miss it.
Just like, yeah. I agree with you. It's nice to like be able to kind of process those things ourselves rather than be told how to feel about it.
Couple more things from the episode. Steven, let's talk about the review of the Come On In guys. Earlier on in the episode, Jeff asked the group, hey, I want to ask a question, and this is something I want the group to tell us about. Does anybody mind if I say, come on in, guys?
Yeah.
And because this is a question that people have asked, and Evie said, you know, she spoke, Evie spoke for the group and said, you know, as a queer woman, no, it doesn't bother me. I'm fine. Like, okay, Jeff says, all right, that's it. We'll go with it. You heard it. Come on in, guys. Later on in the episode, Ricard says, hey, I've been thinking about this, and I don't think we should do come on in, guys. Jeff says, okay, great. Thank you. We won't do it anymore. Now, I do think that probably this is not a decision that you make live with the audience or with the contestants, because that if you run an organization, that there is a lot of power that comes with being the head of that organization. And I think that you might have people who are afraid to say how they really feel on day one of a game for $1 million. I mean, I loved how Survivor showed us the whole crew. I think that's a tough spot to put people in to say, hey, is anybody here uncomfortable with this? Okay. No. All right. Moving on. So I really think that really what Ricard did to speak up when he said that he thought that they should not do come on in, guys, anymore, I thought it was very brave of Ricard.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, I think so too. I mean, obviously this is something that the show wanted to do. I'm assuming that if they weren't comfortable, if the show didn't want to do it, they wouldn't be asking the question in the first place, right? They're not going to be, you know, they're not going to make a big change to one of their iconic lines just because, you know, a random reality contestant says it that way. I mean, you've seen, you know, how Jeff feels about the people on Twitter tweeting at him.
Yeah, well, he said, like, and if you think that I shouldn't have caved, you can find me on Twitter, but I'm not going to read your tweets.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it doesn't seem like this is something that was told, right? He asked the question, right?
Yeah.
Jeff asked the question. So obviously this was something on his mind. This was something that they were strongly considering. And, you know, I think giving the contestants a voice is a fun and good way to sort of decide that. And very brave of Ricard to say something, knowing that, you know, everybody is watching him and, you know, maybe people will disagree with that. And I thought that was really, bold of him. I agree with you.
Yeah. And so for me, look, I love the tradition and the history of Survivor as much as anybody else does. Okay, Steven, yesterday I went on YouTube, Twitch. I named all 608 Survivor contestants. Every single one. Every single one. A couple of them I had some trouble with, but I got to them all. So look, I love the history of the show, and I saw a lot of people out there on Twitter tonight upset. I saw some people saying they were quitting the show over this, that if they are not saying, come on in, guys, I can no longer enjoy Survivor. And to what I have to say to those people is that if you cannot enjoy this program without a change to the fourth biggest catchphrase in the show's history, then
the
perhaps
last word. It's not even in, like, it's not even the rest of, like, it's like, come on in is, yeah, is like the important part of the phrase,
yeah,
you know?
And perhaps you don't like really enjoy Survivor if that's your problem. And shouldn't, yeah, it really be come on out, guys, in the first place? I mean, they're standing in a bush and they're waiting for Jeff to give the signal to come on out. Come on in what? Come on in, yeah, where?
Yeah.
Should be survivors. Come on out.
Well, and typically it's you're on like a hill or a slope and you're like kind of descending a little bit. So it should be come on down.
Well, that's another CBS program.
Yeah. No, but that's a brand, that's, you know, brand crossover. That's synergy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Should be all the, yeah, CBS shows. And also tonight, RIP to the comment section of the Survivor Facebook page.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that come on in, survivors, come on in. But I think we'll be fine here.
I'm really into this come on down idea, because truly, like, you really are typically like you're in like a hill. Often you're like a little bit away from the challenge. The challenges are usually kind of like more at sea level. They're on flat, open ground. You're like taken away. You maybe like climb up a little hill. You are descending. And that is it. So come on out, it doesn't make sense. You're all outside. Come on in, as you said, doesn't make sense because there's no inside. Come on down is the only thing that makes sense.
Come on out is fine. You're already outside, but you're hiding inside behind a bush. Come on out.
I guess so. You are hiding behind a bush.
Yeah. They don't want you to, yeah, see the other tribe.
Come on, like, over.
You come on over.
Yeah. You know, yeah, closer.
Come on over, challenge, baby. Yeah. Okay. All right. Steven, anything else big picture you want to talk about from tonight?
Who do you like, Rob? Who are your who stood out to you? Who popped?
Well, I told you about Ricard. Really liked what he's doing.
You liked Ricard. I thought he was doing a little bit too much, but you liked him.
No, I've really liked him so far. Yeah. You know, I really liked JD coming into the season.
Oh, he was so
but
fun.
I thought it was a auspicious debut for JD.
Well, but what a fun character. I mean,
yeah,
JD probably not winning this thing,
mm-hmm,
but brings so much fun and joy. And like how much, you know, you're a big guy. You know, you love the straw that stirs the drink. Feels like everything that was happening on that tribe had something to do with JD. You know, mm-hmm, he made it. And I just got so much. And he was having such a great time. I really just loved him. And I'm so glad he's on the season.
Mm-hmm. So, He did a good job. Evie was doing great work as well. So hard to really assign a MVP for the blue Luvu tribe.
Danny, are you kidding? Danny's so great.
Danny?
I love Danny. Yeah.
Yeah.
No?
I mean, he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, he's just like so, and like everybody trusts him. Mm-hmm. Like he comes back from that challenge and just like explains how it went, and everyone's, and you know, he was totally calm, you know, didn't flub anything, wasn't flustered, and everyone's like, okay, I believe it, let's go with it. Mm-hmm. You know, he came back pretty smoothly from the idol hunt situation. Man, I thought Danny was great.
Yeah. All right.
Knows the game really well, it seems, you know. Yeah.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
All right. Every week. Yes.
Oh, go ahead. No, every week.
Every week. We're going to take your questions here on the Survivor Know-It-Alls and all week long on our Rob is a Podcast Survivor shows. We have a form, a Google form that you can send us your questions anytime. It's robhasawebsite.com/survivor questions. I'm sure we got a ton during tonight's episode. Let's take a few. Here is a question that is from Colby. Who says,
oh, Colby.
Yeah, Colby Donaldson. Did Nasir ensure that he won't make it to FTC with his opening speech? Now, Nasir said that he learned English from watching Survivor.
So his final tribal speech would presumably just be like a string of speeches cobbled together from like winners of the past.
Yeah. Steven, wouldn't that be amazing if one day if we were on the revival of The Genius and we had learned Korean from watching The Genius? Would we be celebrated?
That would be amazing. Oh, my God. Now I have something to aspire to.
Yeah.
Now my life is
Bandage Man. You are like my teacher. Yeah. Stephen, that Matt chat on day one, is that meaningful?
No, I mean, I do think you can kind of, you know, really, you know, it's probably more meaningful to the other people on the other tribes than it is on your own tribe, but not really. Right. We all, you know, you're all honestly, like almost anything you say in response to a Jeff question isn't meaningful. Everyone knows that it's like, we're, you know, everyone's like posturing, you know, he asks a lot more questions than we see on TV. So everyone's got their like big answer. And you know, everyone's like trying hard to please him by giving him the thing he wants. I don't think anyone takes that stuff that seriously.
Okay. Let's take a question from, Sam Rawson, who says, could David have an underrated hero edit?
I thought he had a fun edit. I really liked his edit.
Yeah. I thought he was really good. I liked that he was a little bit in the narrator role, especially talking about everything with the challenge. I feel like we didn't get a ton from him about the vote. Spoke up at tribal council, but we didn't really get his take too much on the Eric versus Tiffany question.
Well, he initially was very much on the idea of, you know, we do need to keep the tribe strong. You know, he kept on articulating this idea that this is a harder game. This is more taxing. We should try to keep the tribe strong. But he also seemed to be someone who was persuadable, right? I think that he was the person who Evie specifically said they could target and win over. So, I think he's a good big character. It's a really fun cast. I mean, he's a good big character. I really enjoy him as well.
Okay. The great Sarah Ferguson wants to know, how do you feel about the new stylized cinematography style? It's very dramatic with the close-ups. Steven, did you notice that?
Well, lots of close-ups, lots of slow-mo. I like it. I like these just like little, intense moments, and you get this like intense burst of emotion, and then you're back into the show. And then too, with the flashbacks, which you commented on, what do you think of all that?
Well, I feel like that with the cinematography, I almost feel like that they said, hey, we're not going to do a intro, but we're going to like give you like the little like snippets of the person that you could like, if you were like somebody who was a editor, you could like find the clips that would be their show. Shots like in the intro that like are actually in the episode. Maybe that's
a great observation. It's totally what, especially that the end of that first segment was exactly that. It was like all these sort of like looking, smiling over their shoulder, or like reaching up for a piece of, you know, bamboo or something.
Xander's slow motion dive into the ocean.
Yeah. Well, and Brad's too good slow. Yeah.
Yeah. So
slow motion knives.
Yeah. So I think that's something that was, really well done. Stephen, they also really pulled back the curtain more so than we've ever seen before on Survivor, where we get more shots of the crew. Now, I feel like that this is something that other reality shows have done more and more. I feel like specifically, does The Challenge do this a lot? Yeah.
Yeah. The Challenge does it a lot. They'll have like, you know, producers' voices, especially they have. I mean, I don't think Survivor is there yet. Survivor's really resisted that. You know, they've really like resisted that for a long time. I mean, the first time I think they ever did it was when Caleb was evacuated, and suddenly you had that shot of like all of the production people kind of like rushing to see what was going on. I think they've really tried to avoid that and for a long time, and I think it was so refreshing because I agree with you. It's like the audience knows, like people know already, you know, and that there's a big crew, and it's like. If anything, it's compelling and it's exciting to see this huge crew there that's all, you know, doing their job and excited to do their job. And like, it's like almost like emotionally powerful to see all of these people who are invested in creating this show in a way that, you know, hiding them doesn't, I don't think it serves anything. You know, I think like showing it gives you more a sense of the scope and grandiosity of the show, or grandeur of the show, I should say, it doesn't like make it seem artificial. I mean, we know it's artificial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The audience is sophisticated now, and that there's not this illusion that, I thought it was funny that we like pulled back the curtain more to see like Jeff actually physically hiding the advantages on the island.
I don't think he typically hides them. It is funny. You're supposed to say like Jeff, whenever you talk about it, you're supposed to be like, I'm looking for the clue that Jeff hid. Like, you know, Jeff didn't hide the clue. But yeah, I guess in this case, he did.
In this case, he actually did.
Maybe he did hide all the clues. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's very fun. But, no, I really loved a lot of the stuff that they did. And I feel like that they, you know, we always, like, you know, tease and, you know, talk about, like, the things that went wrong. But I really do feel like that most of what they did was a hit tonight.
It looked great. The show looked fantastic. I mean, maybe again, like maybe it's just, it hasn't been on in so long, but like all these like beautiful underwater shots. I mean, some of the shots in the challenges that way, like were underwater, were of the oars rowing. I mean, just really incredible, beautiful shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just was fun in the opening of the show, like that most of the conversation was like, hey, all right, you're on Survivor. All right, tell us how much you love Survivor.
Yeah. How great am I? How great are we? Yeah. We need an ego boost.
Yeah. Okay. So let's take another question. And
we should ask for, the question should be, how much do you love the know-it-alls?
How much do you love the know-it-alls?
How much? How great are the know-it-alls?
Yeah. We'll bring people up if we ever do another live show. Okay. Atticus says, can you please, for the love of God, explain the protect risk thing, and what are the pros and cons of each? What would you do? Okay, well, we talked about what we would do.
Let's talk through it very, very like slowly, because I agree. I think a lot of people probably missed it.
Yeah. My question was, what if everybody protected their vote? Would they all lose it, or they all kept their vote?
They all
vote?
Keep it. And that's actually what's, I think, unusual about this, is that there's no disadvantage to protecting your vote, right? Typically in the prisoner's dilemma, you know, there's like a disadvantage to doing like, you know, jail, right? Doing the safest thing. And so basically the way that this worked was, if everyone protect, you know, if you could either choose to protect your vote, or you could choose to risk your vote. And if you chose to protect your vote, you definitely got to keep your vote. If you chose to risk your vote and everyone risked their vote, then nobody got a vote. Then everybody lost their vote at the next tribal council.
Yeah.
But if some people protected their vote and some people risked their vote, then the people who risked their vote got to keep their vote, and they got an extra vote. So the worst case scenario is, if you risk your vote and everybody else risks their vote, then you lose your vote. The best case scenario is if you risk your vote and a bunch of other people don't risk their vote,
or one.
Right, or one, which is with Danny in this case, and then you get the extra vote. And the fine scenario is, if you choose to protect your vote, you know, no harm, no foul, nothing gained, nothing lost. You go back with your vote. So, do you want to talk through sort of the advantages and disadvantages of each, or did I?
I think you already did. Do you think that it was the right call from production to make it, if two people risk their vote, that they both get their advantage, or should it have been a little bit more pure, where, okay, if you are the one person that risks your vote, you will get the advantage?
I think, though, production wants more.
They love advantages.
Game, right? They want to make it easier for more people to have advantages. And so I think they want to encourage the scenarios where people get them. I mean, it was a little, it was confusing to follow, you know, but once you get it, you're like, I guess that's the best way. I mean, that is the closest to the prisoner's dilemma. The only difference is that, you know, there's no penalty for doing the safe thing, right? Like I said, typically in the prisoner's dilemma, there would be a penalty for doing the safest thing. But I think that would be really confusing. Like, if there was so I thought, like, you know, it was an interesting idea. It was a little confusing, but
So the hard thing to figure out here, after watching one episode in 2 hours of this show, is that, will there be some version of this or other types of scenarios like this in every episode moving forward? Jeff talked about in the preseason, you are going to have to risk something in order to get something. Like, will the boat just show up and somebody has to get in every single time?
I hope not. I mean, it's fun as like a fun one-off, but I think it would become kind of like, you know,
they couldn't keep doing the prisoner's dilemma, but will it be just right, like, hey, the boat is here to take you to like an advantage land?
But then it becomes sort of like Island of the Idols, where it's like, you know, the game show that's like next to the show. I mean, again, like, I thought it was fun here in the way that I thought it was fun when they did it in Amazon, when, you know, you had two people from other, what it was,
Jenna,
who was it? Yeah. Yeah. You know, they got to like mingle. I think it's like fun to have something that is irregular, but then when it becomes just like a part of every episode, it's like, okay, like, now we got to do like the game show thing. And like, that's not really what we're signed up for. Like, right. Like, we want like the strategy, we want like the plotting and, you know, the counter plotting, not like, you know, which way do you turn the wheel, and how do you gotta go back to the tribe, and how are you going to explain to the tribe, and like the same thing every episode.
Yeah. Okay. This is another question. Colby has so many questions. Is this further proof that all episodes should be 90 to 120 minutes and go truly full tilt?
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be quite a show. That would be a really, I mean, that's what's so great about Australian Survivor, right? Is that there's just like a lot more time. And so you really get to know the characters.
Yeah. Look, it would be great if we got more Survivor. Look, we're starving. We had a year and a half with no Survivors, but I don't want to be greedy. Okay. Let's also see. We have not had a season of Survivor, since for a year and a half. I'm curious to see what goes up on Paramount Plus, if anything.
Yeah. Yeah. You think there'll be extra scenes?
I don't know. I mean, in the past, there have been like bonus scenes that they've had on the CBS website. I know they're really trying to drive subscriptions to Paramount Plus. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of ancillary content we could potentially get coming up on Paramount Plus. Let's do a few more questions here with the great Stephen Fishback.
Oh, so here's a question. For the prisoner's dilemma, I want to just hit the prisoner's dilemma. Like, they must have had a suspicion that one of the others would not have – was going to do protect, right? Like, that was the whole point of, like, you should get to know these people before you go up. The idea is, like, so you have a sense of how they're going to make their choice. Do you think that they knew that one of the others would? And do you think they thought it would be Danny?
I think that that is definitely possible, considering like how Danny certainly presented himself in the preseason as being like sort of like a straight shooter. But he did say he would look for an idol. But I don't know if he seems like the kind of person that would risk his vote to get an idol.
Yeah, clearly they all like clearly, you know, both JD and Xander thought that, you know, someone that must have thought that one of the others was going to. Going to do it. I still think even if you're not sure, I still think it's worth taking the risk just because you're not risking that much.
Right.
The potential gain is very big.
And potentially, you know, as you pointed out from Dalton, that you could potentially like, hey, I stopped the other two tribes from getting an extra vote. All I had to do was give up my vote.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Go back to the question.
Okay. Back to the question.
All right.
Go ahead. I forgot you read the question sometimes too.
Samuel wants to know, do you think Deshaun and Danny looking for the idol might have been a little exaggerated? I feel like they may have looked a little, but probably just used it to take a break.
Look, it was real to Nasir, whether or not they spent a long time looking for it or not. It was enough to have Nasir go back and tell everybody about that they were looking for the idol.
I think it's a good observation. Like, they weren't going up into the trees. You know, they were kind of like looking along the rocks on the shore, you know.
Take the scenic route.
Didn't really seem like they – sorry?
Take the scenic route.
Yeah. I mean, like, they didn't do like a full-on idol scramble. You know, it was just kind of I agree. Like, maybe they were tired and like wanted to, you know, let's poke around.
Yeah, let's see what's out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Tubby Lunchbox wants to know, will the shot in the dark replace at least some of the idols we've seen in recent seasons? Do you think that this is a Survivor's version of a compromise with the fans?
No.
Yeah. What do you think the beware advantage is? One that Jeff planted.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, it was like, I guess I probably wouldn't open the beware advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Watch out for that one.
Yeah.
We didn't talk too much about it, but, what'd you think about, Jeff talking to the audience at home?
The opening?
It's just overall in general.
Well, but didn't he do it a lot than the opening? I'm trying to like,
he did it a couple of times during the episode.
Did he like, what else was there?
He did it at tribal council.
What did he say?
He's like, all right, we're back with the first tribal council. I think he might have done it at the challenge also.
I actually don't think you need it. You know, I think that like one, I mean, I like the intro. You know, it's been 2 years. Hey, remember like this? I thought that was a fun intro, kind of giving the, you know, a little bit of the context for how the changes are made. But it's like, you know, when you're writing a story, like you cut away all like the excess transitions. You don't want transitions. You want to just move the audience from like place to place. And I think like everyone here knows what's happening. We know we're a tribal council. I guess there's a lot of new fans, right? There are a lot of new fans coming in. So I don't know. I hope, I mean, what do you think?
I mean, it was fun. It was giving me a little bit of the Blue's Clues video of like when he's like, hey, Survivor fans, I'm sorry that we left you for a little while, but I just wanted to say you look great. Whatever you're doing, it's working for you. We're back. All right. What do you want from me?
Yeah. I mean, but it was fun because it was a little different and because it felt fresh and honest. And I think that's like part of what they're going for, right? Is like peeling back the curtain a little bit and like being more direct, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's see another question about the shot in the dark. Nick Wagner wants to say, do you think that there will be a major tribal where a majority of people play the shot in the dark and it comes down to a one or two vote tribal?
I don't think so. I think that would be unlikely, right? Like you really have to feel you're at risk. And more often than not, people don't feel that they're at risk when they are at risk.
Yeah. So we'll see how many people ultimately play. I mean, the thing is, you could only get one of them on the shot in the dark, you know, to come out. So it's not like everybody could potentially play it the same night. Because this is an idea for years we've had on the many think tanks that we've done of what if you did a season where everybody has an idol? And we said, well, that's going to get very complicated. But I think that this is almost like a really like watered down version of that, which is that you have a season where everybody has a shot to be able to go to an idol in a pinch. So you never get, and we've talked about this over the years, like sometimes where the most boring votes of the season might be a night where there is no idol in play. And I feel like that what the idol brought to Survivor is giving you the chance that there's always going to be something unexpected. And then we get a vote once in a while where it's like, well, there's no idol in play. We know what's going to happen. It's going to be a straightforward thing. And it's just going to be, it's either this person or it's going to be that person. And it's basically two people on the bottom and whatever one is going to go home. This is at least an opportunity where, you know, that there's at least some variance that we can inject into that episode.
I think it's fun. I mean, we'll see. Like, it's definitely better than Fire Tokens, my God.
I mean, thank you, Mike White.
Yeah.
Steven, anything else you want to say about the 2 hour Survivor premiere?
Fishy's going to Evie. I know you were wondering.
I thought that you were done, that the Fishy was retired.
Only on this show. We give out Fishies. You know, people care.
Congratulations to Evie for the first Fishy of the season.
Yeah, I thought they really did a fantastic job with that, you know, finessing those conversations and really kind of seeding the subtle doubts about Eric. You know, about it, maybe he's a gamer and he knows the game really well and he's not going to be loyal. And you know, with Tiffany, and she's going to be so loyal and we can trust her. That was very well done. It's just really nice to talk to you, Rob. It's nice to talk to you. It's nice to, you know, it's been so long. It's nice to have my Wednesdays free. I'm so old and tired, but like now, like, you know, I got this like baby, you know, it's a lot of energy. Yeah. It's so fun. It's so fun to like see the show again. I was so re-energized. I was kind of down on the show. I think a lot of people were like a little bit, you know, like too many twists, too many, you know,
drop bad the four, things. Keep the one.
Yeah.
It's a new era of podcasting. I feel like
it feels very exactly. It's like, here we are, the alls.
Drop the no. Keep it. Are we keeping it?
It alls. It alls. All. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It alls.
It drop alls. The alls and just call it no it.
No all. Drop the
no
it
all.
And the
drop
S.
The no, it. The no, keep the no all. All. Survivor. No yeah. all.
No, no yeah. all. But no, it was.
Yes,
it's
really you're recharged. Fun, yeah. You were electric on Twitter tonight.
Oh my God. Well, you know, I'm trying to tweet as much as I can about the color of various, you know, production decisions, you know, mm-hmm. production. And what about you? How about you? Any last words?
Well, none that I can think of right now, but I will have many more over the course of this week. Got to say
last
something.
Words for you. Yeah. For me, it's the last words on the episode for you. This is the warm up
until next Wednesday.
It's so fun. I'm so glad to be back. It's so great to be podcasting again with you. So great to talk to you. Like I said at the start, like it's like, you know, we're my great friends and we only, you know, we only talk like this.
It's mm-hmm. so strange. It's the best friendship.
Strange relationship.
It's the best friendship.
Yeah, exactly.
It's friendship all goals right. for everybody yeah. out there. Did we miss a beat?
I think that took me a second to kind of like warm up. I don't even know. Maybe I'm still not warmed up. We'll see next week. Forget it. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, we'll be on fire. And of course, we get to do it every Wednesday, all season long. So excited to be off to the races. Steven, let me tell you about what else is coming up here on the podcast, because here we go. We've got later on tonight, Big Brother 23. Steven, what a season of Big Brother we've had.
Truly.
Taryn Armstrong is going to be live with the hosts of the brand new Real Housewives of Salt Lake City wrap-up. It's Jacob Jones and Maggie Morgan. They're going to be live coming to you right after we get done tonight.
Amazing.
Okay. So be on the lookout for that. We'll probably have like maybe 10, 15 minutes in between. Of course, tomorrow morning, I will have exit interviews with Eric and Sarah. So we will have a double exit interview to kick off our exit interview slate here on Rob is a Podcast. So be on the lookout for that. Karishma will join me on Thursday night. We'll talk about everything. Of course, if you have questions for Karishma, use that link I gave you earlier in the episode, robhasawebsite.com/survivorquestions. And then we will have our first Survivor feedback show of the year, where the great Chappelle will join me to talk about everything from the episode and answer more of your questions and voicemails. You can leave us a voicemail at robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. Then, brand new patron show, Steven. We are going to be taking calls from the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast every single week. We're going to do this on Monday nights, brand new show, just for the patrons of RHAP. We're going to take your questions live. We did this for Big Brother, Taryn and I. For the first week one episode, I am going to be joined by Amon Adwin. He was taking over the RHAP Instagram account tonight. He will join me on Monday night. That's going to be at 7 p.m. Eastern. I will send you the link to call in on Patreon. Looking forward to hearing from the patrons on Monday night.
Fantastic. Excuse me.
Steven. Are you okay?
I was overwhelmed with all that incredible content, Rob.
Yes, Steven, we're just getting started. Steven, please.
No, are you kidding? Wow, my God.
Steven's Fortnite buddy, Rick Devins, is going to join David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis as they tell us why Eric and Sarah lost as they kick off the season over on Why X Lost in our Rehap Ups feed. Then on the RHAP B&B, Mike and Liana will be playing some games this week with Kirsten McInnes and Maggie Morgan on the season premiere of the RHAP B&B week one recap. Then we're going to have over on Survivor Global that Shannon Gus is back to talk with Dino Paolo. And check that out. Shannon is going to be talking with the international stars of Survivor every single week in our international Survivor feed as well. And then we've got a brand new Survivor Stockwatch is here, Steven. Taryn Armstrong will have weekly coverage as well. Check out Taryn with Asia Welch to rate and review all 18 players in the game, or 16 players that are left. That's going to be live Thursday on all of our streaming channels at 5:30 Eastern. So join us then, of course. Lots of great weekly content coming up for the patrons of Rob is a Podcast. Steven, this is the time. This is what you've been waiting for. Okay, this is the time to jump in and become a patron of Rob as a Podcast, because we have our weekly Survivor Q&A. We're going to be giving the patrons early access to our Survivor podcasts that come out over the course of the week. When we record them, after we're done, you'll get them. They may go into the regular feed a couple days later. And then the patron 5 for 5 with the First Lady of Podcasting, that's all in our patron podcast feed, plus much more in our patron community, Facebook, Discord, at robswebsite.com/patron. And on Saturday, Steven, I started a brand new thing, patron orientation. If you're a new patron to Rob is a Podcast and not really sure what you're doing, I'll be live with the patrons of Rob is a Podcast on Saturday afternoon, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. I'll send you a link on Patreon. I'll explain how to access all of your patron benefits, and we like to do some meet and greet and Q&A if you want to come on and ask me anything and say hi. I'd love to meet the new members of our patron community. That's going to be on Saturday, 6 Eastern, of course. Hit the subscribe button if you're watching us on YouTube, or go to robhasawebsite.com/subscribe to see all the different ways to subscribe to our podcast feeds in your favorite podcatchers. And then, of course, subscribe to us on social media at Rob is a Podcast, at RHAP Grams on Instagram, and at Rob is a Podcast on TikTok. Steve, see, I love TikTok.
Do you? Are you big on TikTok?
I love it. I got way into it.
Really?
Yeah.
You have a lot of followers?
I mean, I'm consuming a lot of TikTok.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of cute animals, I'm told, on TikTok.
There's a lot of good stuff. Steven.
Rob, all those podcasts, that's it. Does your voice get hoarse? Do you just get like more and more mellifluous as the day goes on? Like by the end, you just like, you know, sound
it's,
like very white.
It's not easy. It's not easy. Not a lot left when I get done.
I mean, this is late. It's 11:30 and your voice, you're going strong. I'm very impressed. This is my one podcast of the year.
No, you're seem as energetic as ever.
Hey, it was great to get Rick Devins to talk about an episode where there were two votes out, because he was voted out twice in the same season.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been holding that in. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Okay. Well done. Well done. Thanks. All right. Of course, you can follow Steven on Twitter. He's at Steven Fishback. Anything else you want to tell people to check out?
No, this is great. This is great. Just come back next week.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Steven, can't wait to do it again next week. Thank you so much. This was so wonderful to be back everybody live here tonight after the episode. Enjoy the BB recap coming up later tonight, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.